Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Happy New Year. I missed you guys. One commitment, not a resolution, a commitment, is to be more present in 2022. 2021 was an interesting year. I wrote two books, having never done that before. It was a lot, I will admit. I recently read that writing a book or creating, putting your words on paper, is a solitary experience. While you get to communicate with your friends and family in short spurts, when it comes down to delivering content, one must be present with the ink pen and that paper, or in this case, the keyboard and the computer. While I do not regret it, it was exciting. It still is exciting. And I hope that you will pre-order the books that I have written. I will share more about those later. One that's available for pre-order now is The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. When we think about growing anything in the city or in our suburban dwellings, one thing comes to mind: you must make it your own. Sometimes break the rules. Sometimes use things that just make common sense. And other times, try things that you might have seen at a nursery or at a public garden. I tapped into my friend, Mrs. Know-It-All, and we talked about greenery, what to do with it, what to do with your Christmas tree, and what new items are on the horizon. I invite you to enjoy our conversation and perhaps become inspired. Well, belated Merry Christmas, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Terry. And early Happy New Year to you.
Oh, yeah. I personally can't wait till 2021.
You know, I said that too about, can't wait till 2021. It really hasn't been much better. So
No. It's when we talk about highs and lows, oh my goodness. This has been a year of highs and lows for sure.
Yeah.
So now that Christmas has passed, or whatever holiday people celebrate with greenery, what do you suggest people do with those trees? Let's start with trees, and then I'll tell you what I do with my wreath.
Okay. So with the trees, there are a lot of municipalities that if you take off all the lights and the tinsel and whatever else you have hanging on there, they will actually take them and chip them up and use them in different parks or for homeowners to come and get and use them as mulch on their properties. So if you're not inclined to do any of that except drop it off, instead of just putting it out in the trash for the garbage bin, drop it off at one of these places and it gets put to good use and it's recycled into the environment. It's not just causing more trash for everybody. Now, what you can do is take the smaller branches, like the ends of the trees where it's softer and more pliable, mm-hmm. and take a pair of sharp pruning shears and actually cut it up so they lay underneath your azaleas, your rhododendrons, your camellias, because they all have very shallow roots. And this way it protects them from heaving when we have, I don't know about you, but we're having these wacky temperatures. It was 55 here on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I had windows and doors open. Last year we had 5 inches of snow.
Oh my goodness.
So what it does is it helps insulate the roots of the plants and it breaks down. Now, what people think of, whether you're using pine or fir or spruce, while they are acidic, and they, as they grow in the soil, they really aren't that acidic once they break down. So the the pine needles and everything really aren't acidic at all. Once they're brown, down in the south, they use a lot of pine straw, mm-hmm. and it really doesn't change the pH of the soil. But it is a nice mulch.
Yeah.
So that's something you can do with them. You can also make a couple little mounds, if you will. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you feel about chipmunks and squirrels and little critters like that, it can be a little home for them, a little protection for them for a while from, you know, the weather. You can take your roping, and I put out peanuts, whole peanuts for the blue jays because they love them. You know, I put them on the platform feeder and on a railing, mm-hmm. and they're out there and, you know, they screech and come flying down, and it's just like one comes another and it's back and forth and back and forth until all the peanuts are gone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do not like blue jays because they squawk, but when they sing, they have the most beautiful bell tone like song. Mm. But they are the alarm clocks of the bird world. You know, they start screeching when they see a cat or a dog or the hawk is around, you know, or some kind of danger. So the other birds know that when the blue jays squawk and it's time to take cover.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes.
Yeah, and birds are intriguing. They are absolutely stunning. They really, really are. Birds have always been intriguing to me. I take my wreath or any type of greenery from my arrangements inside, uh-huh. and I put them at the back of my yard near my compost, only because I do not want the squirrels to think that my terrace is their luncheon in the summertime. So they hang out in the back, and I can sit in my office window and watch nature just, you know, have a field day out there. And it's so wonderful. But I used bird seed and peanut butter. So I kind of redecorate the wreath because why not? It's for nature.
Oh, sure. Why not? And, you know, when you take the, depending on the type of wire form that you have for the wreath, mm-hmm. I put it outside and I decorate my shrubs with, you know, I just kind of poke these silk flowers in there and just for Easter. And then there, of course, you know, the Easter eggs on Easter morning and everything.
Oh.
And, you know, and I've had people, you know, and granted, it's not classy. Sorry for those of you that think it always has to be classy. It's my garden. Well, it's the front of my house, actually, so people see this. So anyhow, I have that out there. I was in Frankenmuth, Michigan a couple of years ago. And for anybody that likes Christmas decorations, Frankenmuth is the place to go. It is the largest Christmas store in at least the United States and maybe in the world. I'm not sure. It is enormous. And it was spring. So they had it all decorated for Easter. They had all these topiaries made out of silk flowers all through the town. So it's just not this store. It's all through the town that they do this. So I was kind of inspired to take it up on a much more affordable level than them. You know, you can go to the dollar store and, you know, get, you know, huge bunches of silk flowers for, you know, $5.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably $5.25 now. Didn't they go up?
Yeah, I know. They keep, you know, raising it. I've always been a fan of the dollar store. You used to be able to get really good stuff at the dollar store too. Now, not so much.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can, you know, take those wreath forms and use it for that. You can also use those wreath forms, turn them up if they're curved, mm-hmm. turn them upside down, stuff them with moistened sphagnum moss, the long fibered sphagnum moss, mm-hmm. or you can first line it with green moss that you buy in a craft store. And then put the long fiber mixed with some soil mm-hmm. and put succulents in there and then just have it on your table outside for the summer.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that and I bought a frame for it, but I was always like, will the succulents fall out? How long does it take for the succulents to root?
Yeah, you know? Well, you don't even have to hang it. You can just simply put it on the table. Mm-hmm. And let it be, you know, like a candle ring, but not a candle ring.
Right.
You can have it that way and they can just lay there and it's attractive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can go, oh, look what I have, friends. Look what I did.
Yeah.
You know, and you're recycling everything as well.
A couple of the wreaths because we get them in an office, the forms are metal and they are curved up. I think I will try that this year. Something new.
It's very simple. And, you know, unless you have a long drought spell, and even then you don't really need to water those plants every day. You just need to water them enough to get them established.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it would overwinter, or do you think use it as a seasonal?
Succulents are tropical plants for the most part. Very few will winter over. Mm-hmm. There are some, but not enough. If there are some succulents that we can grow, even up here, but you've got to grow them in the soil. You can't grow them out of the ground in a container or anything. Okay. So something like that you could bring in. And if you're lucky, they're going to get so big that you're going to have to transplant them, but they might throw off what we call pups, mm-hmm. you know, or offshoots, and mm-hmm. you can use them the following year.
Yeah, I'm, we'll talk about that in a minute, but that's part of the innovation of 2022. You know, we've had enough practice. We've heard there's this great reset happening, and I am seeing it in my own office where people are beginning to try things that they had dreamt about, but never really had the courage to do. So as we approach 2022, the Garden Media Group put out a Garden Trends report. And in that report, a couple of things they mentioned was definitely supporting your local businesses, creating unique virtual opportunities, and trying something new. What are you going to try new in 2022?
I always try new plants, new seeds, new plants. In fact, I am currently working on an article for 1-800-Flowers on some of the most popular houseplants for 2022. And right now at the top of the list is peperomias, which have been around forever. There's one called baby rubber plant, which is not a ficus, a rubber plant. It is actually a peperomia, but it has those leaves that resemble the rubber plants. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be one of the things. The other thing is, and because we typically don't think of it as a house plant, are tulips, because we force them. And you know, it's still not too late to actually force bulbs for your home. You can, if you can find a garden center, and by now they're getting rid of bulbs, you know, because they're gonna, probably next week they'll have all their spring flowers out because we have to push the season every time. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing stuff for Valentine's Day already.
Oh, I saw that before Christmas.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen Halloween yet. You know, we haven't even made it that far. Why not?
Now you've given them an idea.
Yeah, but you can get, if you can find some tulip bulbs, daffodil bulbs, hyacinth bulbs, you can get them. And get what we call a bulb pan, which is a shallower pot. Mm-hmm. And they come in different sizes, usually 6, 8, 10, 12. Mm-hmm. And you get a small one and say you have the daffodils. So if it's a 6-inch pot and it's marked on the bottom, so you know, mm-hmm. fill it with some good potting mix that's been slightly moistened. Take the daffodil bulb, kind of twist it in mm-hmm. a little bit. And you still need to leave probably about an inch or two of the bulb tip actually sticking up. Go put it someplace where it's going to be cold. Cover it up, put it in a cardboard box with a lid. You only water it once. That's critical. You don't want to go in and water it all the time. You want to water it once, cover it up, go put it somewhere where little creatures won't eat it over the winter. Let it stay there for at least 2 months. Mm-hmm. 3 is better, but you can get away with 2. Mm-hmm. Take it out, bring it into the light. They will start to grow. And you will have, whether it's tulips or daffodils, you'll have them growing. They will flower. Now, they prefer a cool area. So if you have a sun porch mm-hmm. or a room that you keep cool, mm-hmm. you can, you know, do that. If the temperatures are warm enough out on the front porch, you could do that as well. You don't want to let them get frosted. That's critical. You know, you can't get, you know, below a certain temperature.
So I can't put it outside?
You can, as long as, you know, you're not having horrible weather. They do want some warmth. They just don't need 75 degrees.
Okay.
50 would be fine. They would be very happy with 50 degrees and some sun. You need to turn them because they are plants and they will go towards the light or go mm-hmm. towards the sun and lean. Now, when you buy potted tulips, etc., mm-hmm. at a florist mm-hmm. or in any store, they are treated with growth regulators to keep them short and squat and very thin. You're not, the homeowner is not going to have that. But what they can do is take some ribbon, some raffia, tie it up very nicely. You can put some cloth or some colored foil underneath like you get for poinsettias, save the stuff from the poinsettias mm-hmm. and use that. And you can go, look what I did. I forced these plants. It is one of the easy, I've taught this class. It is one of the easiest things for people to do. You just have to be patient for them to get that chill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't, you know, you could actually cover it with something dark, maybe wrap it up in dark newspaper mm-hmm. and stick it in your refrigerator, the back of your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you, please mark it that this is not edible. No, I have a story. Michael Caine, the actor,
yes,
apparently has a home in the Bahamas or someplace where I'd like to be right now. And they were having dinner and he had a new cook. And she brought out this soup and they were tasting it. And he's like, what is this? She said, onion soup. They were in the refrigerator. She chopped up the daffodil bulbs and sauteed them in and made onion soup. You know, and daffodils are poisonous, not horribly poisonous unless you decide to eat the whole thing. You know, after a sip or two, they decided this was not going to be dinner. That's why I'm saying, you know, market that is not edible.
Now, but are tulips edible?
The flower is actually edible. Now, you have to remove the pistils and stamens, but tulips are edible. A lot of them are for actually tulips and daffodils and obviously hyacinths. There are more and more fragrant varieties, uh-huh. and the more fragrant they are, the more flavorful they are. Oh. Now, lighter colored flowers are tastier than dark colored flowers, but you know, you could have a pink tulip mm-hmm. and just have a little chocolate mousse in it, and the petals are... Am I making you hungry, Terry?
Yes.
And it'd make a nice presentation if you're having a group over for tea. You know, you could put anything in there. You know, you could, it, you know, put something sweet. I wouldn't recommend Jello. I think it would look disgusting.
Mm-hmm. But meringue. But,
you know, a meringue. Mm-hmm. You could even make little meringue puffs and just stuff them right in there. Because mm-hmm. meringue puffs are like... nothing to make.
Right.
And you could flavor the meringue. In fact, if you have some lemon verbena, mm-hmm. you could take the lemon verbena, kind of rip up the leaves a little bit uh-huh. and let it soak in the egg whites overnight uh-huh. and then fish them out the next day and they impart the flavor of the lemon verbena. Mm-hmm. And I like lemon verbena infinitely more than I like lemon balm, you know, because lemon verbena tastes like lemon. Or you could fill it here, and I have one for you. I actually had this hors d'oeuvre at a wedding last month, and it was a bruschetta mm-hmm. with mascarpone cheese ooh. And lavender with a little tiny piece of arugula on it. It was to die for. So imagine ooh. That in a flower and eating it.
Yeah. It's so, you know, we're going to have to do an episode on edible flowers because you wrote the book on it.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my goodness. But let me tell you, what else is new, first of all, before I go there?
So, I always grow new vegetables, at least one, mm-hmm. preferably something that I will actually eat. That doesn't always happen. But I always try to grow new flowers. So there's some new osteospermum. I'm going to be growing that. I'm trying to grow a Lespediza, which isn't very hardy for me, uh-huh. but I have one that I have in a pot healed in for the winter, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it comes back in the spring because they have those wonderful pea-like flowers.
Yeah.
You know, they're like magenta pink. I'm going to have that. I actually am looking for some new shrubs to plant. So there's a dire villa. It's pretty much a carefree plant that the deer are going, I don't like that. And they're going to walk on by. So, you know, there's certain plants that they're like, I'm not eating that, you know, kind of like, you know, give it to Mikey, see if he'll eat it.
Now, does that bloom? Or is it just green?
No, it does bloom. And it blooms, well, it's not big showy flowers like hydrangeas. It does have small, beautiful flowers almost all summer long.
Oh.
So what's not to love?
Yeah.
Right there. And then I am growing a, it's a new echinacea that's white and it's short.
Ah.
I can't give out the name yet because it's a trial, but it's really, really pretty. And the flowers are, they do what we call recurve. So when they recurve, if you know what cone flower is, instead of having that flat look like an umbrella, the petals actually bend over down towards the stem.
So graceful.
And the pollinators just love it. But some of the other things you're going to see after the past year, 2 years, people, you know, they're going to the store and it's like, oh my God, I can't even afford this. A lot of people are growing more and more vegetables. And we're encouraging new gardeners, apartment dwellers, to grow what they can grow. Not obviously, they're not growing corn.
Right.
But there are patio tomatoes. One of the things I saw at a trade show this summer was, it's from Ball. They are pollinated tomatoes and peppers.
Yes.
So all you have to do is put it in the light and water it and harvest it. When it's done, it's done. But you don't have to worry about hoping that the bees are going to fly to the 32nd floor of your apartment building and pollinate it. It's already done for you. And I actually got to sample some of the tomatoes. They were pretty good. They're small. I mean, they're a salad tomato. They were absolutely wonderful.
Right. I tried out the pepper and the tomato this past season. And I have to tell you, I got tomatoes for 2.5 months. That's a season.
Yes. And for some, and you know, for anyone who can't physically go out and dig a garden, this is the perfect plant. This could even be grown for someone who is in assisted living. You know, if they're allowed to have it, this would be perfect for them, that, you know, they can still have their fresh tomatoes and peppers.
Yeah. And if you have a window box, container gardens, container gardening, and
self-watering,
think about it.
Containers are so hot.
Yes.
You know, I use a lot of self-watering containers. I have 2, 3, 4 earth boxes, and I've grown zucchini in them. I also have, it's from Crescent Containers, and it's a self-watering, it's raised up, and it has a different watering system to it. So I always look at different watering systems when they're self-watering containers, and I grew zucchini in that, and it did really, really well until the squash bug got it. I got most of the squash bugs, but they kind of knocked down some of the production. And then I have another upright container that I had hibiscus growing in. And then I have hanging baskets that are self-watering. And the difference between them, now these are big self-watering containers. The smallest size is 16 inches, which is a huge, typically what you see in garden centers is a 10 or a 12 inch hanging basket. This is 16 inches. And now I grow flowers in them because I'm just a sucker for flowers. And, you know, I had them growing in there, but it has a different watering system and it's called the Weekender. And I got it from a company called Eckert's Greenhouse in Michigan, and it's reusable. You need a sturdy hanger. That's the one thing it requires. It needs something sturdy because it's a 16 inch pot. It has water, it has soil, and it has plants in it. But it comes in a variety of colors, and I just love it.
And what's it called?
the weekender.
And you plant yours up. How many plants does a 16-inch take on average?
You know, I do a talk called How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. And for anybody that remembers those movies way back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so I stuff hanging baskets and they survive. I typically put two or three super tunias in there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something trailing as well in there, because they really feel like, what's nice is they have a hanger that swirl, and then they have a decorative one that doesn't swirl.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but this year I saw one with a begonia, and I want to say it was the Santa Fe begonia, which is a big hot begonia. It was huge. And they had it filled with not only the begonia, that begonia gets quite large.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it filled with a marguerite sweet potato vine.
Mm.
And it was just outstanding.
That sounds wonderful.
So at least one of those baskets is going to look like that this year. Mm-hmm. I am a sucker for the unusual and the wild and the wacky.
So back to those crescent planters, because crescent pots are awesome. To plant a zucchini in one, how large of a crescent planter would you need?
So it's called the nest. So it's elongated.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually has two trellises that you fit in there. So you can grow, I can grow two in there because they're constantly watered.
Right. Ah.
You know, and you know, because that's the one thing about zucchini. I love zucchini.
Me too.
Yeah. Zucchini is a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical for their growth. So they're always getting water, whereas if you have them in the garden, watering can be irregular. You know, you can get a lot of rain and then it's too wet to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't get enough rain and you forget the water. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of struggle. You know, I mean, I always do grow a couple in the garden, but I grow them in that crescent container as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I grow one, it's an All America Selections,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Bossa Nova. And what's really nice about it is it's a more compact
mm-hmm.
plant. Now, mm-hmm. it is still a full-size zucchini. It is not, you know, some little miniature one. It is a full-size zucchini. And one of the unique features about it is it's like green. It's not the dark green that we're used to with zucchini that you typically see in the markets.
Right.
And even if it gets big,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get that pithy, dry inside like you do when you find the baseball bat out.
I was getting ready to say, like a young baseball bat?
Yeah. Hey, can I tell a story?
Sure.
So I was going away to cultivate one year. I was looking at my zucchini and it was only maybe 4 inches long, and it was still a baby. So I said to my husband, I said, you know, that's going to be ready in a couple days. Make sure you pick the zucchini. And I come home 5 days later and I have a baseball bat. And I'm like, why didn't you pick the zucchini? He said, I was waiting for it to get ripe.
So we know he's not a gardener.
No. He likes what comes out of the garden, but he's not a gardener.
So what do you do with a zucchini that's overripe, shall we say, overgrown and baseball bat-ish?
Sinful chocolate zucchini bread.
You can still cook with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's really not good, say, if you wanted to saute it or fried zucchini.
Yeah.
But, you know, you chop off the ends, you scoop out the seeds. And with this bossa nova, there's not as many seeds when they get big like there is with other zucchini. Just chop up whatever. The recipe calls for 2 cups of shredded zucchini. Almost all my recipes call for two cups of shredded zucchini. I also make a zucchini casserole. That's a little different. You know, it involves garlic, cheddar cheese, and onions.
That would hit the spot. That sounds delectable.
It is. I'll be nice one of these days. I'll give you the recipe.
Okay. Well, yeah, because we've got a whole new season with new plants. And I'm sure that some of the old recipes will work just as well, if not better. One of the other trends they mentioned was people going back to the traditional ways of gardening. And I thought that was refreshing. maybe going back to the basics, if you will, are there basic tools that have come back onto the market that maybe had disappeared for a minute?
They really haven't disappeared, but people haven't used them. A pitchfork is always handy, especially if you have nice loamy soil and you're digging potatoes, for instance. If you grow potatoes, I grow potatoes every year, the Yukon Golds, because I just really like that buttery flavor.
Yes.
I have done raised beds over the years, so my soil's pretty friable. You know, people here use rototillers, whether it's the little mantis tiller, you know, or one of the bigger ones, depending on the size of your property. You know, but people are using that. One of the things that's really cool, I actually bought one this year, is the power planter. And it is an auger that attaches to your drill, your cordless drill, by the way, because you can't be dragging out electrical cords all that way.
Yeah.
And you just kind of zap it down into your soil and pull it, and it pulls out the soil, and you can put your plants in there. So they come in different sizes, but you could do your bulbs with that, which I did my bulbs with it for this spring. You can do perennials with it. And depending on the size you buy, you may, if you've got a small one, you might have to drill a couple of holes if you're doing a larger size perennial to put in. But instead of sitting there, you know, with a trowel digging it or with a shovel, you know, unless you're working with concrete, you can use this. And you don't want to use it when the soil's wet, because all you get is muck.
Right.
You know, right. But this is really great and works very easy. I really like it. So that's a new tool for gardeners. And it's also easier for those of us who have arthritis in our hands, or, you know, you don't want to be dragging out the heavy equipment when you can just zip right through and plant it and be done.
And that also makes gardening more enjoyable for the seasoned gardener as well.
Yeah. You know. And, you know, making the garden seasonable, I was reading an article by Leslie Halleck, who is out of Dallas. And she was talking about garden centers providing new ideas to their customers. And because everybody's been stuck at home for so long, you know, take the patio cushions, look at them. You know, do they need replaced? Do you need some new colors out there? You know, maybe you want a fire pit. You know, as long as it's allowed by your municipality, because some do not allow them. You know, maybe you want a new umbrella or a gazebo type canopy. We actually, well, we had ours damaged, confluence of Hurricane Ida. And so we put a hardtop one up on our deck. So, you know, we can go out and sit, and it can rain, it could snow. I am a creature of comfort. You know, you can even get little, they're not fire pits, but they work on propane, and it'll be a line of the colored glass and have little flames coming up on that. You could have that there. You could get new furniture. You know, perhaps, you know, you've had the old wicker furniture and it's kind of looking faded and some of it's starting to crack. It's time to do that. Maybe get a new indoor-outdoor rug, not the grassy stuff, right off the, not the grassy stuff. There are plenty of outdoor options for there. And there's pillows. And those pillows are really, you know, I always buy a couple every year. They're very comfortable. And, you know, you sit down and, you know, come summertime, we eat outside almost every day. You know, not necessarily for every meal, but I'd like to get out there for dinner at least, you know, cook something on the grill. Maybe you need a new grill. You know, whether, you know, my brother has a smoker, and he, for Christmas Eve, he actually made a smoked cherry barbecue sauce. That was really, really, he smoked the cherries in his smoker. You know, if you can't go out to dinner, you're not comfortable going out to dinner, you know, maybe if you want to spring for some of these things and, you know, smoke some, whether it's pork or beef or fish or game meat, you know, but you can also smoke other things like cherries or tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, have that. So outdoor living is becoming more the norm than an option as it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Maybe. It also provides a way and gives you a reason to not just go outside and garden and work, but to pause. Enhancing your space makes you want to be there.
I like, there's two things I like to put in the garden, light and glass. And sometimes you can do both. And you know, I have purchased some glass pieces over the past few years. Granted, not the cheapest hobby, but you know, some pieces just to kind of be there and, you know, catch your eye as you walk by and give it a more elegant look. I like to put candles out. And I have to tell you, years and years ago, we were at the Garden Writers Conference out at Chanticleer, my favorite ever garden. My girlfriend and I were kind of wandering the grounds, and it was dusk. And there's a set of steps. And they actually just had votive candles on both sides of the steps, just lighting the way up. And they had candles here and there. And it was just, you can sit in the garden and just enjoy it. You don't have to work at it, you know, but the lighting just gave you that extra amount of time in the garden to enjoy it.
Oh, I'm feeling 2022 already, you know, just trying new things, adding, enhancing my space.
Absolutely. And
getting one of those crescent planters with the trellises in the back.
And it comes in three sizes too. I have the smallest one, but it gets bigger. You know, I'm not sure you could grow a tree in it, but you could grow something large in there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm looking forward to this past year, I got quite a few Oh So Easy roses from Proven Winners.
Yes.
I think the white one is called Ballerina. I could be wrong, but it's slightly fragrant. So I positioned it so that when I'm on my terrace, that scent will waft. It's not a strong scent. In my mind's eye, I'm smelling my Thomas Lipton rose that I've had for 15 years. And this Oh So Easy, because when Thomas is done, he's done. But then this Oh So Easy white rose, oh, I can't wait. And I got the orangey ones. I mean, we'll go into detail about roses later, but I can't wait for my Proven Winners Oh So Easy roses. I think it's the color collection. Oh my goodness. I can't wait.
I love roses. Unfortunately, two new roses that I just planted this year got rosette disease because someone up the street has rosette. And I just planted them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because these roses, they were Brenda Bella's. They were so fragrant. I was and I went out one day and I'm like, that doesn't look good. And my girlfriend, who's an extension agent, happened to be coming over that day. And she looked, she said, oh yeah, that's it. And so when you have rosette disease, off with their heads, literally into the garbage. They don't get composted. They go into the garbage. And you can't plant roses there for several years.
Now, I was told that because in my back 40, I have some of the wild roses and I was told to get rid of those. Yep.
Absolutely.
Just totally get rid of those. So that's
a
great
winter
activity.
They are a vector for rosette disease.
That's exactly right. And that's a great wintertime activity because you can get out there, especially on a day when it's sunny but cold, don some boots and a nice jacket. And get out there and hack some of those roses out.
Remember, I worked outside for almost 30 years. I go out in a sweater. I want to prune back my bloomerang lilac. And I have some spirea that need a good haircut. Even though they got one last year, they're getting a shorter one. They're getting a real crew cut this year. You know, so.
So for wintertime, we can get rid of those wild roses. Definitely cut ivy off of trees.
Cut the ivy actually at the base if at all possible. And if you can take it off the trees because it'll have those roots attached and you want to get them off because they can really damage a tree. They can damage your brickwork too if you have them going up your house. I realize it looks very quaint and English looking. And yeah, it does look good in the movies, but frankly, it's really not good for your brickwork either. And for those of you that are afraid of critters, be aware that snakes can wiggle their way up those vines and into your room.
And you need to know that for sure. So if it's on a tree, well, if you cut it at the base, will that still enable what's on the tree to grow?
If you cut off the roots, which is what you're doing, you'll have the roots that attach to the plant, but they're really not getting in. It helps if you can remove it, just because it damages, you know, bark and everything else. But when you get it down at the base of the tree, if at all possible, if you can paint it with Burnout or Roundup or whatever you want, it's an herbicide, you know, take an old paintbrush, wear some gloves, whether it's organic or not. Please do not use that mixture of Dawn dish soap and everything. I will come and haunt you forever. Paint it on there, and that should stunt the growth. It may come back again. You might have to do it a couple of times.
Okay.
But that should help. Works for poison ivy. Because poison ivy is not only a vine, it's also a shrub. People don't realize that it has that shrubby tendency. Now, we do not have poison oak here. It's not hardy this far north. Not that I'm that much further than you, but it's just enough that it doesn't.
Right.
And, you know, you can get rid of it that way. Oriental bittersweet is another one. And people like to harvest the vine and make wreaths out of it and everything, and the birds like the thing, but it's an invasive species. There's American bittersweet that is nice, you know, but here again, if you don't know, assume that it's Oriental bittersweet and just take it down and try to read Amylopsis breva pedunculata, variegata. And it is porcelain berry vine.
Oh, yes.
And there's an area not far from my house. And it's not rural, but it's just a road that's just traveled, but it's not housing or anything. And it has literally covered the trees. It's just all green porcelain berry. And most municipalities actually don't recognize this stuff. And people like us were like, oh my God, what have they done? You know,
got to identify those, I call them intruders in our garden of life, because nature gives us so many gifts, but some of them we got to be careful of.
Yeah. We don't need that gift. It's more like the gag gift.
Exactly. Like, here's coal for you. Okay. Well, we have recapped, what we're looking forward to and what to do with our greenery in the garden that we've had to celebrate our holidays. And we'll be back. Did you get seed catalogs yet?
Not yet.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm still going through all the Christmas cards.
Well, my catalogs are starting to roll in.
I save my Christmas cards and cut the front off. And sometimes, depending on how it is, I might cut a few smaller pieces off. I take a hole punch, put some curling ribbon through there, and I use them as tags for Christmas presents the next year.
You are so resourceful.
I get some pretty cards. I hate to throw them away sometimes. It's like, you know, that's what I do. I save them, then I sit here like a nuts, you know, putting curling ribbon in and tying them off, and then I have them for next year. You know, because some of those little tags you get, it's like they get lost, you know, the cat pulls them off. And I do use some of the ones that stick on, but even still, you know, these aren't easy to miss. They're right there.
I think the prettiest Christmas card that I received this year that I'm going to hold on to, because I'm a native Washingtonian, and it's a scene of our nation's capital in the distance, a bench, a lamppost, and the snow. I can sit and look at that card and imagine myself sitting on that bench.
You'd be crying if it was snowing.
Well, I personally love snow, so I'd be like, Oh, this is so pretty. But who knows if we're going to get snow this year. So, well, hopefully we will get some snow. And I look forward to our wonderful conversations as we move forward.
And spring is going to come. The days are longer now. Yes. Not that we can really tell, but yes. The days are longer. I look forward to the winter solstice every year.
Yes. And I'm going to plant those tulip bulbs I got at Merrifield Gardens, but we'll talk about that later. Okay. I shouldn't have gone, but I went. But anyway.
Our friend Doug just planted 300 of them. And it's like, you know, I'm like, what is wrong with you? That ground's cold.
Yeah.
It's wet.
Yeah. And I also got a yellow amaryllis because I've been dreaming about that for a year. So I hold my amaryllis until after Christmas because it helps me look forward to spring. So I'll share pictures of that as it evolves. But okay. Hey, have a happy new year.
Same to you and everybody else.
All righty. Well, let me tell you, I hope that you are inspired and that you will utilize some of the tips that Mrs. Know-It-All shared and maybe think outside the box. And come up with your own ideas as well. One of the things I know I'm going to try, instead of using succulents, I will use sedum in those recycled wreath hangers. You never know. Nothing beats a failure but a try. While we're anticipating snow today, it would be the first snow of the season. If you take out those few flakes we had back in December. Nina Lynn wrote a poem called Snowflakes. So pure, so white, the most beautiful creation. Words cannot describe this sensation. Delicacy of this one tiny flake will eventually fall and only break. This unique, one of a kind, will definitely blow your mind. I thought that was so cute. It definitely speaks to the way I feel when I get to actually embrace a fresh snowflake falling from the heavens above, allowing me to realize that winter is finally here, for real. I wanted to take an extra moment to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of the photographers that contributed to both of my books. I want to say thank you to the people I interviewed for Black Flora. I want to say thank you to the publishers, Quarto Press and Bloom in Print, for giving me an opportunity. And I want to say thank you to my family for understanding that I couldn't always come outside to play because I had to make a dream come true. In 2022, are you going to work on your dream garden? Are you going to make your dreams come true? I hope so. I plan on making my dreams come true as well. We've got work to do. But in a new year, approaching the end of the winter season, I hope that you will explore the magazines that I'm sure are flooding your mailboxes. Try something new. Support your local entities. And follow along with me. I'm planning on having some fun this year, and I hope you guys will join me. Enjoy.